Christmas, and welcome to the Christmas Hall of Fame podcast. My name's Maureen of MyMerryChristmas.com. The Christmas Hall of Fame podcast is a simple and brief production to introduce you to the people, places, and things nominated for the Christmas Hall of Fame. The Christmas Hall of Fame is a non-profit, fan-driven effort to recognize the very best of Christmas. Voting for this year's class of nominees ends on Thanksgiving Day, so be sure to vote soon at ChristmasHallOfFame.net. This is the story of one of the world's first multimedia superstars, but Harry Lillis Bing Crosby was born in an era predating airplanes, radios, and automobiles. By the time he would pass from this world, he mastered the emerging technologies of the 20th century to make him rich beyond his wildest dreams and famous and respected all over the world. His name, by the time of his death, was synonymous with Christmas. And Christmas today can't be celebrated without him.
Beautiful girl, your lovely picture. Beautiful girl, just a gorgeous mixture of all that lies under those big blue skies. My heart cries, beautiful girl.
He was born in the middle of seven children in the great American Northwest. His father was an English-American bookkeeper and his mother a second-generation Irish-American, making young Harry about as American as apple pie. Growing up in Spokane, Washington, the magic of technology was far from young Harry's mind and even further still from his grasp. But he had quite the active imagination and loved to read a spoof newspaper publication from his hometown. Harry so loved to read and mimic the Sunday feature that a neighbor took to calling Harry Bingo from Bingville, a name that somehow stuck with him. Harry would henceforth be known as Bing. Bing Crosby's rise to superstardom is a familiar American success story. He was a man of considerable talent whose hard work put him in the right place at the right time and continues to inspire generations of Americans born long after he died. His early success influenced an entire stable of American artists who fashioned their own talents after his and tried to mimic his business success. Frank Sinatra, Perry Como, Dean Martin, and Tony Bennett all credit Bing Crosby as a guiding influence. Bennett's uncle told the young Tony to keep your eye on Bing Crosby. He's the one you want to be like. He taught us all how to do it, Bennett says. What was it? It was a warm musical style that combined elements of note-bending jazz with the rhythm of pop to create a sound that seemed to reach out from the radio and affect people. It was more than just the buttery smooth delivery of his singing style. It was a distinctive overall package. It's difficult for many young people today to think of Bing Crosby in these terms. It's likely because Crosby had such a long career that was masterfully managed and crafted as he aged. His impact, especially on Christmas music, is indeed ageless.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
His earliest known Christmas song was a solo version of Silent Night, but it would become just the first in a very long line of Christmas performances. By 1931, Crosby had gone solo, performing with some of the biggest bands of the era, capturing radio audiences on both CBS and NBC. The segments were just 15 minutes long, but they were so effective in reaching America's youth that Bing became, seemingly overnight, a sensation. This was in a time long before Elvis, Sinatra, or the Beatles. He would go on to greater heights, some would say, than all of those artists combined. Crafting his musical style was one thing. Getting radio producers to allow him to perform it the way he wanted was quite another. In this respect, the early efforts of Bing Crosby foreshadowed what was to come in future heartthrobs Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley. The creative stifling that Crosby suffered from wasn't unique. While radio was the perfect medium to make him known, he had to sing the songs in a way different than his talent dictated. He clashed with producers over sound quality, song length, and arrangement, insisting that their only concern was for the studio audience who saw him, versus the millions instead who are only hearing him. To prove his point, he merely pointed to the toupee that they made him wear. As Crosby's influence and wealth expanded, so too did his reach in changing the circumstances of how he performed. In building his career, he had pioneered the art of singing with, instead of in front of, the microphone. Those early bits of artistic touches with the microphone might seem to be simple showmanship today that everyone does, but back in those days it was radical and unheard of, and it changed how artists performed and put the focus on the soloist instead of the band playing behind him. Crosby built his own studios and started to record his own shows. This allowed him to place the microphones where he wanted, to produce the numbers he wanted in the way he wanted them. He would rehearse and record before trying it before a studio audience, sometimes using the rehearsal copies of the recording in a final show package instead of the live performance. It took some doing, but Crosby was finally able to persuade the networks to air his recorded programs. This allowed him to focus on show production in the studio, sometimes producing an entire series of shows at one time, while freeing up his time for live appearances. This broadened his exposure even more. In the production of his own shows, Crosby invented standard techniques that are still in use today. He invented the laugh track, for example. Working with German engineers prior to World War II, Crosby invested in the development of recording tape technology that was so clean it could be used to produce broadcast-quality recordings that sounded as good as live performances. This led to other things like overdubbing, allowing an artist to harmonize with himself or other singers, taking the performance of a song to a whole new level.
The bells of St. Mary's, I hear they are calling. The young loves, the true loves, who come from...
Throughout the 1930s and into the 40s, Crosby became the leading singer in America and radio's biggest star. He parlayed that into acting, eventually starring in 79 feature films over the course of his career. This dual media exposure made Crosby the first superstar and set the stage for a later career that kept him in demand well into his 70s. Outside of performing music and acting, Crosby was a savvy businessman who invested heavily in technology and new business. His self-produced radio shows, for example, were sponsored by something called Minute Maid Orange Juice, an emerging idea of the time built on investors like Crosby. He dabbled in golf, using his love for the game to promote charities, and he became one of the biggest owners in racehorse history. Though he often joked on his shows about his horses coming in last, for decades the horses produced on his farms excelled and established Crosby in the world of horse racing with a sterling reputation. His image was wholly American. In tune with the times, Crosby seemed to sing what people were thinking. When Irving Berlin wrote the song White Christmas in 1941, there was never another choice when it came down to who would be singing it. And though a simple song, according to Crosby himself, it spoke directly to the American heart and soared to the top of the charts and stayed there, year after year after year. For 11 consecutive Christmas seasons, other artists tried to knock off White Christmas, including Crosby himself, with other classic tunes like I'll Be Home for Christmas and It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. But White Christmas couldn't be stopped, eventually becoming the best-selling single of all time, outperforming decades of classic hits from artists all over the world. And more than 70 years old, the song White Christmas remains the de facto anthem of Christmas, with hundreds of millions sold and making it the most performed Christmas song by artists in nearly every genre.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
World War II not only redefined redefined Christmas music in America, it too reshaped an emerging image of Bing Crosby, who along with Bob Hope served during the war entertaining the troops in war zones. He was the man everyone wanted to hear sing, and by 1948 he was considered the most trusted man in America, bigger than the President of the United States and even the Pope. During these years, Crosby began to churn out what are now considered classic Christmas albums. Jingle Bells, sung with the Andrews Sisters, Mille Kaliki Maka, and Christmas in Killarney continue to be alternative Bing favorites. As the 1950s came around, Crosby naturally took to television and annual Christmas specials. In 1957, he produced another Christmas album, this one called How Lovely is Christmas. As time marched on, Crosby took on the role of the elder statesman of music, appearing alongside Elvis, Sinatra, and other stars of the day. He remained visible and in demand well into the 1970s. Crosby's name belongs alongside those other artists, such as Charles Dickens, Clement Moore, and Norman Rockwell in shaping the modern Christmas. The ever-unfolding scroll of American music at Christmas is anchored by Bing Crosby and the music he made for a generation that never seems to lose its influence. Please join us at ChristmasHallOfFame.net to cast your votes for this year's nominees or to nominate others for next year. And don't forget, the Christmas Hall of Fame not only recognizes people, but also other iconic elements of the season. Movies, songs, books, places, and the things of Christmas that make celebrating it so joyous. If you have a podcast, run a radio station, a newspaper or magazine, a social media group, or any type of publication, we encourage you to get the vote out for Christmas and to direct people to the Christmas Hall of Fame website. Every voice, vote, and opinion matters. You can even host an episode of this podcast to inform listeners of your ideas when it comes to the nominees we have or should have for the Christmas Hall of Fame. Please see our website at ChristmasHallOfFame.net for more information. This is Maureen of MyMerryChristmas.com for the Christmas Hall of Fame. Thank you for listening and watch out for our next episode of another of this year's nominees coming out very soon.